Welcome back. The acceptable service. Okay, sir. Our anchor scripture for this topic, sir, is Matthew 7:21.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Mm.
Then if I may just complete it. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name?
Mm-hmm.
And in thy name I've cast out devils, mm-hmm. and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me,
mm-hmm.
ye that walk iniquity. So, sir, when you look at a scripture like this, what flows through your mind is, these people are servants of God.
Yes.
Supposedly, they are servants of God.
Yes.
No, at this stage, they can't go and be lying to the Lord Jesus that we prophesied in your name. So, it's somehow, they offered service to God.
Yes.
And yet, he's saying he does not know them. So, it provokes this question. What does this mean, the acceptable service?
You know, very honestly, if you are a Bible student, these are the kind of scriptures that quicken you, that, you know, make you to tread carefully with your Christian faith. It provokes question. It said, not all that said, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom.
Mm.
He said, but he that doeth the will of the Father. We say, that's verse 21. Let's stress it again.
Okay. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven,
mm.
but he that doeth the will of my Father,
mm-hmm.
which is in heaven.
Yes.
Mm.
Now, I want you to note here, there is the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord Jesus Christ, always remember, you know, that's why I love the Christian faith.
Amen.
This is the one faith that if you are sincere, you will never be lost, because there is something you look up to, you know, to judge whether you are right or wrong. The Bible.
Mm.
And the Bible is not an academic thing. It is about molding us into an acceptable image. Mm. So, and that is why God gave us Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Apostle Paul said we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes, sir.
You see, and remember that Jesus is the last Adam.
Amen.
The Bible refers to him as the last Adam.
Yes, sir.
Because he is the beginning of a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you must be born again. So Jesus is the reinforcement of what God intended by creating Adam and Eve.
Mm.
He is to be in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
So when Jesus comes and says, if you see me, you see the Father. So what God intended in creating Adam, if you wanted to see how he wanted Adam to look like, not the nose, not the height, not the skin color, but in character.
Okay.
You know, it is largely in character.
Mm.
Apostle Paul caught that revelation and understood what Jesus meant. If you see me, you see the Father. He said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15,
yes,
he said, it's the image of the invisible God.
Mm.
Now, why I'm bringing this is that when Jesus also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he becomes, you know, the image we are all looking forward to. Romans 8:29, you know, that we are predestined to be conformed. The destiny of a Christian is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
That's right, sir.
So if the firstborn is holy, Bible says the first branch is holy, the next one must be holy.
Amen.
If you are from the same source.
That's
now, putting all this, because in trying to make us understand, you know, the service of God, you know, he came down to show us how to serve God acceptably. Then he went to John chapter 6 and verse 38.
John 6 verse 38.
John 6 verse 38.
Okay. For I came down from heaven.
This is Jesus speaking.
Not to do my own will,
uh-huh.
but the will of him that sent me.
You see now, he came down from heaven not to do his own will. This is what we must understand. He came to do the will of him that sent him. There are two things here, you know, and you hear him say, my father heareth me always because I do those things that are pleasing before him. Why? He's always walking in the father's will. You know, I want you to dissect that statement very well. You know, dissect that statement. Let's read it again.
I came down from heaven.
Yes.
Not to do my own will.
That is his own will.
But the will of him that sent me.
Now, there are two things here that you must not overlook. There is the will of the Father. And the emphasis, the will of him that sent him.
That's right.
There are two things there. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the first one. It's the will.
Okay. For I came down from heaven not to do my will. Yes.
Now, you see, he stressed it in Luke chapter 22 mm-hmm. and verse 42.
Luke 22 verse 42.
Yes.
Okay. And he says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Uh-huh. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
So, emphasis, not my will, but thy will be done, even at the point of the most horrible death any human being can go through. Where he could have refused to go. You know, the interesting thing about the service of God is that he allows you to also use your will. He doesn't force anybody.
Wow.
Now, he doesn't force anybody.
God doesn't force anybody.
That is why for your service to be acceptable before God, one of it, hallelujah. Well, it's about the will. I'll come to that so that I'm very systematic. I mean, very, present it point by point because this is very, very important. There are people that take note so that I don't jump too much ahead of what you are asking me.
Okay, sir.
Now, in Matthew chapter 6, also verse 10.
Matthew 6, 10.
Yes. In teaching us how to pray, okay. He mentioned something there.
Yes. Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done in earth.
Thy what?
Thy will be done
be done in earth
as it is as in heaven.
It is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And Apostle Paul summed it up also in Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
Romans 8, 28.
Yes.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Yes.
To them who are the called according to his purpose.
According to his purpose, that is according to his will. So we are called to fulfill his will, otherwise known as his purpose.
Okay, sir.
We want to note it. From that statement, not all that say,
Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God.
But
he that doeth the will of my Father, which is
therefore, for your service to be acceptable or accepted by God. Mm-hmm. Are you a servant of God? God call me. God call me into the ministry. God call me. God call me is a common word among Christendom. God call me. God call me. I have a call. I have a call. Listen very well. It will help you. So that you will not fall under the category of Matthew 7:21. That is the importance of today's Rapture Watch, a topic not selected by me, but selected by you.
Yes, sir.
You told me that I should come and explain Matthew 7:21.
That's right.
And I say I will do so.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, now for this service to be accepted, three things need to be put into consideration. Number one, it must be his will, not yours. We have established that.
So for your service to be accepted by God,
yes.
It must be his will.
It must be his will. What you are doing is his will.
Okay.
Not your will.
Okay.
It must be his idea. Not your idea.
Now you're breaking it down.
That is why I'm breaking it down now.
Yes, sir.
It must fulfill his purpose, not your purpose.
Okay. Because when you just say his will, it's too abstract.
It must be his will.
His idea, his purpose, his will.
Yes. Not
yours.
Not yours. We must catch this. Now, I want to break down this will.
Okay, sir. Please do.
Okay. Now, It goes to the second point.
Okay.
That's why I say, listen very carefully. For the service to be accepted, it must not only be his will, but it must be according to his will. Okay, that's why I say listen carefully.
Sir, are you not confusing me here?
That is the language
let
of
me,
revelation.
Let me quote the first
point. I'm not
point.
Here to speak grammar.
Let me quote the first point.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to explain all this, right?
Yes.
You said it must be his will.
Yes.
Now you're saying it must be
according to his will. They mean two different things.
Serious?
Yes. Now okay. I'll prove it to you. Now 1 John chapter 5, verse 14.
1 John 5.
Yes.
1 John.
Yes. Okay.
1 John 5:14. All right. And this is the confidence that we have in him.
Yes.
That if we ask anything according to his will.
You see now, that okay. you ask anything according to his will, what happens?
He heareth us.
He heareth us. Yeah. Now, the normal thing which we all have been teaching, including me, until when I was just looking at this scripture again yesterday, is that it is his will, for instance,
fruit
of the womb is his will.
Yes, sir.
It's his will for us to prosper.
Yes, sir.
Good health.
Yes, sir.
It is his will.
Yes, sir.
Now, therefore, you pray. You give me fruit of the womb.
Yes,
give
sir.
Me fruit of the womb.
Yes, sir.
Now, but in getting the fruit of the womb, it has to be according to his will, the process of achieving this his will. Is what is stressing according. Now, the will of God, every will of God has a process that you have to walk according to that process to fulfill that will. Now, let me give you an example.
Okay.
When the Lord Jesus Christ made that statement that the Father heareth me always because I do those things
that are pleasing before him.
You know,
yes,
I
sir.
Do those things that are pleasing before him.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, look at it now. Let me explain this. It is the will of God that the ark be removed from the land of the Philistines back to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But now, in bringing that ark, there is the way you are supposed to carry the ark. That is the according to the will now.
Mm.
Now, because he is the one that established the process. He brought about the ark, and he tells you, he has the manual of how to carry the ark, even how to build the ark, everything about the ark. So you see now, it is a perfect thing that the ark was being brought to Israel. It is his will. But there is also a right and a wrong way of carrying that ark in bringing it to Israel, where the will of God be that should be there. So I don't know if you understand.
Yes, sir. So it's not just enough that it's his will. It must also be according to his will.
Thank you very much.
Mm.
Moses was told by God to build a tabernacle. Build the ark. The dimension.
Mm-hmm.
The material to be used. And everything. The height and
the
everything.
Quantity.
The quality, the quantity, and everything was given from God.
Mm.
Let Moses not add his own and think it will be more beautiful than what God showed him. Mm. He will not be doing it according to the will of God.
Despite building the ark is his will.
Exactly.
Building that temple is his will.
The same process with Noah in building the ark. Now, David sat down one day.
Mm.
And decided he will build a house of God. He's living beautifully in his own apartment, his own, and then the ark of God is in one tent. It was a wonderful thing he was going to do. Yes, it is good, but it's not his will that you should be the one to build it. Mm. I want you to know, David, it is not the will of God for you to build it. So, what is the will of God is that somebody else will build it.
Amen.
If David, with all the money he had and did everything, went to build it, you have wasted that money. No matter how beautiful the ark is, God's presence will never have come down there.
So if David had built it, it will not be according to will of God, despite that temple's existence was God's will.
Exactly. We also have the battle with Absalom.
Okay.
David's son. Now he's dead. Yes, the king must be informed.
Okay.
The king must be informed. The news must be passed to him that Absalom is dead. But there is a proper way. Ahimaaz, you can't do it.
Okay, the pastor is quoting 2 Samuel chapter 18.
Now, I'm believing that these are stories in the Bible. You should know them. I'm not teaching doctrine, or these are Bible stories.
That's right.
That's why, if not, we'll spend the whole day here if we were to read each of these
stories.
Yes. Now, I'll give you more examples for you. Maybe one or two more examples. So Moses. Yes, God told him to go and get water
from
that rock. But he told him how he should do it. He struck it, though the water came out, it was not according to the will. You know,
And you just got this understanding yesterday. So it's a fresh wine. I hope our viewers are tapping from this fresh wine that the pastor is giving us. Okay, fire on, sir.
You see, so don't you ever add your own idea in a matter that concerns God, because this God has a reason for doing certain things that you may not understand. He told Saul that you should go and clear all the Amalekites, sheep or everything at all, anything, including animals, clear all of them. Saul went and was killing all of them. That was the perfect will of God. But he injected his own. You know, he didn't do it according to
God's will.
Yes, the will of God is the due order. David, in carrying the ark, said, we did it not according to
the due order.
The due order there is the perfect will of God. That he has laid, the process he has laid in achieving whatever he tells you to do.
Sir, before you fire on, let me, still on these 2 points, I want to see whether I really am understanding your point, sir.
Yes.
The will of God is God's idea, God's purpose, like what he wants.
Yes.
Then according to his will is
the process. Yes.
Okay, how he wants is done, the vehicle that brings about this will.
Exactly. Okay. And I also want you to know, when we talk about the will of God, that there is a perfect will of God.
Yes, I was going to ask you that, but I wanted you to finish it.
There is the perfect will of God, and there is the permissive will of God. And I preach a message that titled Understanding the Will of God. There is the perfect will and the permissive will of God.
So the third point, sir.
Yes, I'm coming there. I'm still in the second point.
Okay.
Because it's still the will. Was he talking about the will? The will. Sir. So that people will understand this. Now, because there is the perfect will of God and there's a permissive will of God. And we see a statement Apostle Paul made in Romans chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
Verse 2. But let's read verse 1 and verse 2.
Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world.
Now that's where we are going.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may
prove,
prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Show, prove, that good and acceptable and
perfect
will of God. So there is a perfect will of God. Now, where we read our text, Matthew 7:21,
yes sir,
you see the way he put it, it was perfect, cast out spirit, cast out. They were so sure, was it in your name we are casting out spirits, we are doing this, we are doing mighty miracle signs and wonders. Perfect. But it was not acceptable by God. Now, that means, why was it not acceptable? It is the will of God now that we should go cast out spirits, cast out devils, this and do healing in my name and this. And it was happening. Yet, it's not accepted by God. The reason is, he spoke there, say, you that walk iniquity. So, it's more than casting out spirits. It's more than healing the sick. There are other things that make that which you are doing to be acceptable before God. There are other things you do in addition to it. All the people see is you are casting out spirit. But how are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? I mean, in addition to that. Now, let me put it this way. All we know about pastors, ministers, is, you know, in the course of my message during the week, I mentioned the tripod,
yes, sir,
of a church, and of course, the individual believer.
That's right.
I mentioned
conversion,
that you must be converted for you to be a true witness of the cross. You must be converted. If you are casting out spirit using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are not converted, all the people are seeing is, you know, but the mighty miracle signs and wonders, and yet your life is not reflecting who a true Christian should be, because, you know, the kind of life you are living, it makes you a false witness.
That's right.
The second one is that wow, spirit that converts you will manifest. That's what I said. That thirdly, you know,
revelation.
You must move from revelation to revelation, because he's a teacher.
Amen.
You know, he manifests in power and he leads you to all truth.
Amen.
So when these are found absent, as God looks at who is that person casting that spirit, then you will know whether that service will be accepted or not. Because what you are actually doing is you are actually calling the name of the Lord in vain. You are a false witness. And no false witness, the statement of a false witness is never tenable in any court of judgment.
That's true.
The judge of the heaven and the earth will not
accept the false witness.
You see how dangerous it is? That is what Christ summarized it as, iniquity. William Branham defined it in his own understanding as knowing the right thing to do
and not refusing to do it.
Yes. That you are found in iniquity. You see, we know the story of Saul, for instance.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you heard it clearly what you are supposed to do. Why did you go
and do something else?
Do something else? And you saw what happened. It cost him his kingship. It did, you see. And then, perfect example. And when we talk of Israel, you know, don't look at the story of Israel. They are a shadow of the New Testament, the church. As we read the Old Testament, let it be applied to you. When we look at Saul, we're looking at leadership. We're looking at leadership of the church. You saw how the kings of Israel, how, you know, they have problem with God. You know, many of them have problem with God because of the life they live, although they were occupying position rightly given to them by God, appointed by God. and also you see how severally, you know, God kept rebuking those prophets. First, remember, they were prophets.
Yes, sir.
So, appointed by God, they are prophets. But what do they do? Maybe so that people understand what we're saying. Let's read some scriptures. For instance, Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's read. We're going to do some little reading here.
Okay, sir.
From verse 1, keep reading until I tell you to stop.
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of
what
my pasture.
What did he say?
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord.
Now, before you go further, what is the job of a pastor? Is it not to gather?
Yes, sir.
Now, there are some that scatter. Okay. So they are workers of iniquity. I don't want to forget, as I was talking, this skipped my mind, that as God looks at that group in Matthew 7:21, that was how those demons looked at the seven sons of Sceva. Thank you very much. You know, what is the life behind what you are saying? The life behind what you are saying. That Jesus I know. Paul I know. But you, who are you? Because there must be a life that backs it up.
Amen.
Okay.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase.
You know why I say scatter them? Always bring this to the church. Don't look at history of Israel. Put the picture of the church. Scatter them where?
Nicaea Council.
Scatter them about. Now, is it not a scattering that somebody is saying, I am redeemed?
Okay.
This one is saying, I am this. This one is saying, is it not people that came with different ideas that caused this division scatter everywhere? Go on.
And I was, verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, we shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called.
Now, I want you to note that by the time that Jeremiah is prophesying, David has reigned and gone.
Of course, sir.
So read that verse again. So that we just understand what he's saying. Yes.
Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch.
I will raise unto David, okay, a righteous, because his throne is an everlasting throne.
Amen.
And you can be sure that righteous branch is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And
because
amen.
The angel prophesied.
Yes, sir.
That he will sit upon the throne of his father David.
Yes, sir.
So that's the scripture. Okay.
Okay, verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land.
Well, you can read that, in fact, the whole chapter 23.
Okay.
It is a rebuke of false leadership. The leadership of the church.
Yes, sir.
The leadership of Israel. What they were doing.
Verse 9 speaks of the prophets.
Now, I'm from verse 9.
Okay.
Yes.
Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets.
Yes.
All my bones shake.
And when they say prophets here, don't just look at those who see vision and hear
sir.
Voice and say, thus said the Lord. Every teacher of the word is a prophet. Because you are saying God say. That is the context that is used here.
Okay. I am like a drunken man and I'm like a man who has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers.
But it's okay. You know, let them read it. It's a reference. You can go there and read it. And go to that same Jeremiah chapter 10 again.
Jeremiah chapter 10.
Yes. Verse 19.
From verse 19. Woe is me for my hurts. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors have become brutish.
Again.
For the pastors have become brutish.
Again.
For the pastors have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered.
You see? Go to Ezekiel chapter 34.
Ezekiel chapter 34, yes, sir. That's what, sir.
The first three verses there.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel.
Against who?
The shepherds of Israel.
Yes.
Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?
Are you catching what the Spirit of God is saying here? Instead of feeding the flock, who are they feeding?
Themselves.
Okay, now.
Ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool.
Okay.
Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock.
You see what I'm trying to bring out here, your attention, point your attention to here, is exactly the situation of the Church of Jesus Christ today. The members are impoverished, and the pastors are feeding
very rich.
From the collecting and tithes. From collecting their offerings and tithes. They live in big mansions, designer clothes, and the poor people are there. Instead of feeding them, they are feeding themselves.
Wow.
And what we say feeding them here is to feed their spirit man and, you know, teach them faith to also prosper. But you teach the type of faith that will make you prosper instead of them to prosper. When you teach giving, you are actually teaching they should give you. You don't teach them to give one another, to give to the poor, to give to the needy, from where the blessings are. But you teach them to give you. So you impoverish them, and then, you know, covetously collect all and feed fat. Now, the God place you there. But the process, how you are using that office, is what amounts to iniquity. At the end, he will say, I didn't know you.
Because he did not do it according to his will.
Because he didn't do it according to his will.
Now, this is a very great revelation I'm bringing forth, sir.
Yes.
And to be very, because you're my pastor, I take your messages very well. I've never heard you put it this way.
Because the light shines every day.
Every day, brighter and brighter.
Brighter and brighter and brighter.
So you can be in the will of God. You are called as a servant of God.
May
you
not be according to the will of God.
You may not do it according to his will.
According to the will of God.
And not doing it according to his will is also deadly.
Of course, that is the reason why he said, I didn't know you. Because he didn't do it
according to his will.
Yes.
Despite you are in his will.
And that is why, too, prayers are not answered. Because you are not praying according to his will.
Okay, sir. Let me bring out this scenario. Let me use as an example, sir. For 20 years, you and Sister Clara looked for the fruit of the womb.
Yes.
And despite during this period, rather, you prayed and prayed.
Yes.
Am I going to say before the 20th year, it was not according to his will for you to yet have a child?
No. When you say according to his will, the application of that, the will of God here is that you should be patient. When there is a promise you receive, because we receive a promise and it is written, part of the process is to wait for God's time. If you don't wait for God's time, that promise will not come. Or it will come, but it will attach sorrows to it. Yet the blessings of God, he make it rich, will not add sorrow.
Okay, so Christian couples who are now waiting for the fruit of the womb, and then
part of the process is prayer and wait on the Lord. Patience.
And that is according to his will.
That is his will. The will of God is that you have it. But according to the will, you must do it according to the will. You know, the revelation language is very interesting.
It is, sir. It's exciting me.
Yes, you must do it the way, the pattern that he has set for you. Accordingly.
Okay. Yes. All right, sir. So the third point, sir.
Now, before I even go to the third point, because I want to stress, there's the perfect will and the permissive will. There are some people that walk under the permissive will and think that they are walking in God's perfect will. I have stressed that in my message. I preached several times before on understanding
the will of God.
The will of God. Take, for instance, I will always use Moses. Moses did the wrong thing by striking that rock. But water came out. One would have expected that you did the wrong thing and the water should not come out. God said, you should go and speak to the rock, Moses. Instead, in anger, he struck the rock. The water will have stopped coming out. But the water still came out. Though the water came out, that's what I want you to note. And the people were enjoying the revival. Enjoying, and they were shouting, Moses, 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 wow. Moses. God pronounced a judgment. A death sentence was hanging over Moses. Why then did the water come out? It is the permissive will of God. To meet the need of the people. that we are following you.
Wow.
So also are women preachers. But it's through that woman pastor that I gave my life to Christ. Yeah, you were looking for God. And there was one available, an instrument that was available, and he used it. Yes, that woman, through her sermon, you received salvation. You received the living water. She led you to the fountain of living water, but she did not do it according to the will of God. Therefore, her service is not accepted.
Wow.
You see, the same thing with Ahimaaz. You see, well, let me forget Ahimaaz. Let me just stop so far. At least this has brought out the picture of what I want to say about, you know, being the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. It's in every aspect of the will of God. You know, if you look at it, you know, you desire, you want to serve God. You want to serve God. You want to serve God. Ooh, you want to serve God. Father, use me. Father, use me. Father, use me. Father, use me. You disturb him too much until he say, okay, okay, go. Balaam. Balaam, oh, God told him, you cannot curse whom I have blessed. But that is the perfect will of God. You've had it now. Woman pastor, you read it now. It's in the Bible. A woman cannot be a pastor.
That's right.
But you have a reason why you're disturbing God. I want to, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Okay, now. Balaam, you can go. But we know why you are going, Balaam. It is because of the gift King Balaam sent to you. Your eyes on that gift until you want to force God to permit you to go and curse his people, to spoil his program. If you ask Balaam, where are you going? He will tell you, God told me to go. Did God tell him? Yes. But that is permissive will of God.
Wow.
And at the end, just as Moses ended, you saw how Balaam also ended. It's death sentence. It's death. Woman pastor, there's no reward in what you are doing. So that is what leads me now to the third condition for your service
to be accepted
by God. He must send you.
God must send you.
Must be the one that sent you. And he said in John 6:38 again.
John 6:38. Yes. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me.
The will of him. You see, the will. There is the will of God. And of him that sent him. You must be sent. And he can send you by an audible voice, a commission given to you, like he did Moses, as he does even up till now. Apostle Paul, audible voice, a commission given to him. Or he can send you with an ability he has given you.
Now,
the ability that he has given you, ability for that purpose, he must send you. And when he sends you, he equips you for what he has sent you to do. He sent the apostles, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to all creature. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power. You see? He also called his disciples, those same disciples that he's sending out in that parable, and he gave them talents. And what did he say?
Occupy till I come.
Till I come. And those talents are those gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Amen.
There were 9 of them. Actually, there were 11 of them. Because we have 2 more in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He equips you when God sends you. That is why he gives you boldness. He equips you with the grace for what he has sent you to do. With anointing, what he has sent you to do. And also, he will equip you with the human resources and any other resource you will need. When he sent Moses, he gave him
Aaron.
Not only Aaron, he gave him Joshua. He gave him Caleb. People that will stand and believe in that vision and stand with you.
Wow.
And anyone that doesn't give you, they will only be working against you. If he didn't give you, they'll be working against you. You see, when he called Abraham, he didn't call Lot. It's Abraham that brought Lot, you know, along. But when he called Moses, he knew Moses has a deficiency.
Yes, sir.
So he gave him
Aaron.
Aaron that was eloquent. And Aaron could understand Moses and break down the message. And in this age, God raised that man, William Branham, and they raised people that understand the message to break it down to the people.
Amen.
Faithful people.
Amen.
That understood what the message was all about.
Amen.
And every pastor, every minister that God call you, he will raise men that will stand with you. You know, not men that will come and compete with you. Not men that even want to take the ministry away from you. Data Kora Labiram. What of evil Miriam? You know, it's a part, it's a spirit. He will even raise Jethros for you. Wise
advisors.
People, advisors, they'll be advising you. Yes. Even David, there were some special people that were
mighty
David's
men.
There were special, there were David's men that stood by him.
Amen.
You know, in politics, they are called kitchen cabinet.
Kitchen cabinet.
In politics. These are the president's men. When they come, they're always together. They will stand, they will defend it, they will do everything. You know, they believe in the cause of the leader and they stand and they pursue it with him. Not the people that you bring in and then they are working against the ministry. I've seen many of them in Bride Assembly Church. You see them, they will come and masquerade themselves like ministers. They are very smart. They walk their way like that into leadership until they become group leaders. And before you know what, when you're looking for the various group leaders in the ministry to send them now out, they chose one. Moses chose one from each tribe, correct?
Yes, sir.
12 elders. Imagine, 12 elders. Out of 12 elders, only two had this vision, the spirit, understood what, and even believed the commission of Moses. The rest, they came to discourage the flock. There are ministers in churches. Their ministry is to discourage. You imagine that minister working in the church there will be talking to members to see reason to leave the church. Devils, serpent seeds. Pastors. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They are not the ones God has given you. When you find such people in your ministry, drive them away. Chase them. Chase them without looking back.
Amen.
And if you want to confirm that they were not part of you, after you drive them, watch their reaction. They will face the ministry and begin to attack you, because in them there is no repentance. Even though they will have realized they are doing something bad, if they were doing it by mistake, they will have realized they are doing something bad and then repent. But there is nothing in them. Instead, they will fight. They want to scatter it. And that was what Dathan, Korah, and Abiram was doing to Moses. Until we all know the story, how they all ended up. So you see, when he calls you, he must send you. Make sure he's the one that sent you. The reason is so that you have his backing.
Okay.
Now, when he sends you, then he gives you direction and shows you how to carry out that assignment he has given you. And I want you to also note that even when God calls you, wait for the appointed time. There is the appointed time for the service he has given you to do.
That's another point you're giving, sir.
Yes.
There is the appointed time.
So many of you just have a dream. You see yourself gather people and you are preaching to them. Then you wake up and say, God has given me pastoral ministry. Therefore, you go and rent a hall. Then, before you know what, frustration setting, you are saying, but why is this happening? Yes, you receive a message of a call. But did you also wait for the appointed time?
No.
Do you know how long it took David after he was anointed the king? Before he
became the king.
There cannot be two kings in the land now. So the mere fact that Saul was still alive was evidence that it was not yet
David's
his time.
And
it is not in the hand of David to kill Saul so that he will occupy. No matter what the revelation. Even when Saul was looking for him to kill him, he was running away. And even when he had opportunity to carry him Saul. And kill Saul, he just gave the evidence, collected his sword, ran away, and then screamed. He said, if I want to finish you, I'll finish you. And he said, you're more righteous than me.
Okay. So on this note, let's take a quick break.
Thank you.
And when we come back, we'll continue this, because I have some questions to ask you with these heavy things that are coming out of your mouth. And we'll be right back after this short break.